everyone, and welcome to another episode of What Happens After I Do, a podcast about love, relationships, and everything that happens after you say I do. My name is Erica.
And I am Marcus.
And today we were thinking of a few topics to discuss, so we're just going to jump right in and see how many we cover. The first topic I wanted to discuss is how to get over fights, or how to, you know, forgive each other or deal with each other after times have been rough. So as some of you know, Marcus and I have had our share of issues throughout our relationship, and we are coming up on our 1 year wedding anniversary. Yay! Now we've had sort of the same issues on and off, and you know, we've dealt with them at different times in our relationship. So recently we had an issue with managing time, or sort of finding a balance in our time together and time with his friends. And you know, we discussed it, and he felt like, well, you should voice your issue if it bothers you, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I said, it's not that it bothers me that he goes out with his friends. It bothers me when he's not courteous about his time out. So this past weekend, we had a situation where we just had a jam-packed weekend. Like, we went to a show on a Friday. We got back super late, went to bed at almost 4 a.m. just to get up very early Saturday to see a childhood friend of his that was in town. Came home from that just to get up. Oh, and then I got this crazy surge of energy, decided, because the next day was Sunday, was Father's Day, that I wanted to, and Marcus's first Father's Day, and I wanted to make it special. So I stayed up all night just preparing for that, cleaning the house, making sure I had ingredients to make him a pancake breakfast. And I didn't get to bed again until like 4 a.m. So needless to say, Sunday morning, I was wrecked. It was a long weekend. And I had initially said to him on Saturday, hey, you know, it's your day. So after we're done with our Father's Day brunch, you can go do your thing. But this was before I knew that I was going to bed again at 4 a.m. So the day starts, we do all the Father's Day duties, we come home from brunch, I'm absolutely spent. He tells me he's going to go hang out with his friends. I'm like, okay, cool. This is early afternoon. He goes and hangs out with his friends. He's like, oh, maybe you should get some sleep. But of course that doesn't happen, because I have my child running in and out of the house, playing with his friends, the dog who needs to be walked a million times a day. So anyway, long story short, it's like 6:30 at this point, and I call him and I'm like, get home, I'm gonna lose my shit. So he gets home and I'm sort of pissed off, and he's like, well, if you didn't want me to go out, then you shouldn't have gone out. Now, that wasn't the problem. I was happy for him to go and spend some time with his friends, but I felt like him knowing that I was so tired, he should have jumped in, maybe hung out for an hour or two and then headed home, because, you know, he should have figured that I needed his support and that I was super tired and I was not going to be able to sleep with a child and a dog. So that's where we were. We had a long, drawn out conversation about it, which this was Sunday evening. Mm-hmm. And when did we have therapy? Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday afternoon, yeah. We were still discussing it at therapy. So based on everything we talked about, have you gotten better insight as to how to deal with these situations?
Yes, I have. Because initially, my problem was that I was taking things at your word versus looking at the actual facts.
Right.
So it was a lesson in not necessarily basing my course of action on just the things you say, but taking a step further back and looking at what's actually going on.
Right.
So it was a good lesson learned.
Well, because let's give him some backstory. So I'm the type of woman, or the type of wife, that I don't say no. Meaning, yeah. I met Marcus as he is, and I fell in love with him, and I love him the way he is. So I feel like I shouldn't impede on his personality because I fell in love with that personality. So I give all the leniency and all the space in the world, but at the same time, I expect that as my equal and as my partner, that he make, you know, good decisions with that, with the level of freedom that
Which I don't
you know.
Always do.
Right. So, you know, and his rebuttal to that is like, well, why don't you say no? You know, if I ask you to do things, why don't you say no? And my stance is because I'm not his parent and I'm not, you know, I'm not here to corral him, so to speak. I'm like, I'm your partner and, you know, you're here with me. You see the day ins and day out. So you should be able to make a decision and say, hey, I'm going to go out. Like, I appreciate that my wife, you know, isn't on my ass and nagging me, but let me, you know, let me be courteous and cut it short, because that's been an issue quite a few times. And again, I don't think my husband's out there being nefarious or you know, picking up chicks. It's not about that. It's about simply time. You know, I have a lot on my plate. You know, I deal with the household stuff. I'm a student. I have a lot of work that I have to take care of during the week. I also take care of the home. There's a lot that I do. So, and I'm also sort of the errand boy or errand girl for my family. So anytime my parents call me, I'm sort of at their beck and call. So I just have a lot to do constantly on a weekly basis. And he knows this. So those moments where he's like, oh, can I go blah, blah, blah. Again, it's always, yes, go have fun. You deserve it. But, you know, I need you to be conscious of what I'm doing, what I'm going through. And, you know, just know that I need your support from time to time.
All this stuff was a reminder about, I think there was a conflict for me on my end, because at the time and in the moment, I looked at it as more of Erica choosing to do a bunch of things and then being, you know, and then understandably being tired, but then also being upset about it. But it was a reminder and a good lesson in that that's just how she is. That's what she'll always do all of the things. So that's something.
Always.
So it's not really a matter of like, oh, well, you chose to do this, so don't complain about doing these things you chose to do, because that's not it. I was able to sort of finally fully understand that it's not so much a choice. If there's something to be done, you'll do it.
I'm driven, you know, like you're driven, but we're driven in different ways. Like, I'm the type of person, and let's you know, clarify. There are people who do things for martyrdom, and they do them, and then after they're done, they're like, oh, well, look at me. I did all these things, you
know.
Which
is how, to be honest, that's how I was looking at it.
Right.
You know, at
right.
the time.
And that's not the case with me. The thing with me is I'm driven. I'm the type of person that if the house is a mess, I feel out of sorts. If I have work to do, I can't stop thinking about it until it's done. Like, I think about, you know, like, oh, the dog is running low on food, or we're running low on groceries. Like, this has to get done. So I just get like, I have like this inner motor that just goes. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, 2 in the afternoon or 2 in the morning, I have to get things done. And until they're done, like, I can't rest. So he, and I've always been that way. So Marcus was taking it as I was being like, oh, I did all these things. I'm so good.
I was taking it as martyrdom, which I realized, you know.
And I'm like, that's not the case. I'm like, this is who I am. Like, I'm never going to be a different way. When you appreciate that aspect of me, I love it. And I get pissed off when I don't, because it's like, I'm not doing it for attention or for you to be like, oh, my wife is so great. But when I do things, like, I'm not only am I taking them off my plate, I'm also taking them off your plate, you know, because I know you work outside of the home, and I want you that when you're home and you have free time, that it's a comfortable situation, that you don't have to run around being crazy, because I am home more than you are. But that being said, you know, I like consideration, and I was feeling like you weren't being considerate of my feelings or, you know, what I do.
Do you think that you could even just momentarily see your way to, just from my side of it, why I might have thought that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I can totally see why you would have thought that, because I do all the things and then I don't say them. But then when something comes up, I'm like, but I did this and I'm super, super tired. And then I can absolutely see how you'd be like, but
to clarify, it isn't that. I just, you know.
And then we discovered in therapy that both Marcus and I have a problem with saying no, but to different things.
Yeah, I have a problem with the self-control of going out and socializing, and Erica has a problem with the self-control. And obviously, one is far more altruistic than the other, because Erica's quote-unquote issue, if you will, is not being able to say no to doing the things that take care of me, our child, her parents, and everything else. So, you know, suffice it to say, I think that I'm definitely the one that has to rein it in a little bit more as far as, like,
well,
the self...
Well, let's explain to everyone who's listening. So, we sort of discovered in therapy that while I have a problem saying, or not saying no, like, if Marcus asked me to do something, he has a problem with saying no to events. Like, if someone calls him up and says, hey, Thursday, you want to do this? He'll say yes. Hey, Friday, you want to do this? He'll say yes. Saturday, you want to do this? He'll say yes. So my thing was, every once in a while, instead of walking this tightrope of, you know, saying yes to social things and saying yes to me or giving me a break, just learn to say no to some events.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to do everything. And, you know, that's something that we've talked about from the beginning, because as you guys, I guess, now know, when I first met Marcus, he was very much a party guy and he was out there living his life. And you know, he sort of worked for the weekend. And I think he's had a little bit of difficulty reining that in since he's been married, or finding the balance of how to do both well.
Yeah.
And because we're very much in love and we're in this commitment and he knows I'm not going anywhere, it's easier to sort of sacrifice that, because he knows, well, if I go out, my wife is still going to love me. She's still going to be there. But, you know, my thing was, no, I'm not going anywhere, but you still can't, you know, let these situations arise, because those things create resentment, and I don't want that in our relationship.
Nor do I.
Right. So, it was a busy and tough weekend, but I think it was very good because we came out, ahead and more knowledgeable than we were.
Like a better understanding,
yeah,
of the situation. Absolutely. And it's sort of like, you know, there's these little points that have been laid out in my mind that I know, like, what I need to do and what I need to not do in order to, you know, maintain this balance. And the thought, I think that sometimes I feel that urgency because I know that...
That urgency from what?
The going out, yeah, and the socializing. It just kind of popped in my head now. I think that deep in the back of my mind, I know that, you know, we will leave this place,
yeah,
and then there won't be
he's not talking about death, he means,
oh, physically. Yeah, sorry, I don't mean leaving the mortal plane of existence, sorry guys, not that deep. I meant we would leave
New York,
and then, you know, it'll be, things will be different. So even though it's, I mean, it's super immature, I know that.
So
I think
you're basically trying to cram it all in.
cram it all in. And and then that's another sort of positive thought that came out of this, all these sort of events and discussions, is that I know that, you know, that it's not the end of the world to have to leave sort of your social circle. And I'm using circle in the loosest sense,
right,
possible, because my shit is
like
it's a fucking Cheerio. And
still a circle.
So, yeah, I guess, but still a circle. But yeah, and true friendships are not about physical proximity.
Right.
And that's something that I'm beginning to understand, realize, rationalize, and come to terms with. And if anything, at this point, I you know, this isn't the first instance where I've felt guilty about having to sort of adjust or come to terms with something. I say guilty because I'm not quite as self-aware as Erica is, and I feel guilty because sometimes I feel like she has to sort of get dragged into this journey of self-discovery, whereas, you know, you're someone who kind of has it more figured out, sort of mentally.
Well, I've been here longer.
You've been here. I know, but you know,
I've been here longer.
You know, but I try. That's the part where, you know, I've had difficulty seeing us as equals. And when I say that, I mean I consider you sometimes above me in certain facets.
I don't like that.
I know you don't, but I'm just saying, like, you, the way that you are more self-aware and more, like, in tune with yourself. That is a way that it doesn't make you my superior, but there are ways that I find that you're superior to me. And it's not, I don't look at it as a negative thing. You understand what I'm saying? Right. Like, it's just there are things that you are better at, if that's a more delicate way of putting it.
So the sense of just self. Real quick, I just want to, now that you said there's things that I'm better at, so I just want to give the folks a quick little deviation.
Before you even deviate, let me, and I'll just straight on that. So I threw sort of like a little fit the other day.
He threw a tantrum.
Prior to all this, not a tantrum.
You threw a little tantrum.
I don't throw tantrums. Because I had felt that Erica thought that I was incapable of anything.
Let's give the background. So this Saturday we were seeing Marcus's like childhood friend, who lives in another state far away. So she came into town and she has since had a baby. She mm-hmm. has a new baby and she's married, and you know, we were going to meet them, and Marcus has talked about her, you know, since we met pretty much. So I said, okay, well, you know, let's make a good first impression. And you'd never met the baby. So I said, well, we can't go in empty handed. We have to go get a baby gift. We have to do all the things. So this was coming off the heels of going to bed at 4 a.m. on Friday. So we're up early. We decide to go baby gift shopping.
And I had every intention of getting up.
Right. Before, so,
which I did. I got up. I knew she was exhausted. So I was like, I'm going to get up, get her the coffee, go get the baby gifts, all that. So the only thing I managed to do before she had actually awoken
was walk the dog.
And get the coffee.
Oh, right.
Get the coffee. So I brought that back. And then she's like, we'll go. And I was like,
I was already up. I popped up.
And I was like, God damn it. Because I wanted the opportunity to show her, like, look, I can go find baby clothes and, you know.
However, so I get up.
But she was like, no, we'll go. She had a great attitude. Let's go.
I woke up. I'm like, yeah, you know, I thought to myself, I'm physically tired, but let's make this a good day. So I get up. I have my coffee in hand. Thank God. Shout out to Starbucks. I love you. I couldn't do it without you. I couldn't do life without you. We go buy the baby gifts, and then they have like a little wrapping station. So I put mm-hmm. the baby gifts in a box, and I put a bow on it. It's super pretty. We leave, and then I remember I said, you know, it was super hot that day, and I was like, oh, I just need like a tank top and some new shorts because I just want to be comfortable for today. And my husband then scoffs and like, oh, we got to go to a store, to which I turn around exorcist style. My head almost rolled off my shoulders, and I'm like, how fucking dare you scoff at me wanting to get a pair of shorts when I've literally just stood through a punk show, went to bed at 4 a.m, got up early with a smile on my face to get a baby gift, am enduring this day and have to do more shit tomorrow. So he got defensive, but instead of looking at the situation, he was
for what it was. I was still in that martyrdom mentality.
Right. So,
because I was looking at it like, well, you chose to get up even though I offered to go get the gift and all this. But the thing that I've come to realize since then, because I was younger.
That's when my husband threw a tantrum, because he was like, you don't think I can do anything. You don't think I can get a baby gift. You don't blah, 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 blah. And my thing was like, no, I think you are perfectly capable of going to a store and picking out a baby gift and bringing it home. However, where I excel is that I don't think you would have had
I think I would have put it in the box, but I definitely wouldn't have done the bow like you did.
Like,
that's for sure.
I'm just like, I pay a little more attention to detail. Like, I think it's the details, it's the little things and situations that make them special. Mm-hmm. So I was like, and knowing that he was tired too and hungover, he would have come home with the baby gift in a plastic bag. And
no,
then
I would have put in the, because I would have got to the cash register and because that was my whole plan to say, do you guys do gift wrap? And they would have said, no, but there's our gift wrapping station over there.
Right.
Put it in the box. I definitely wouldn't have done the bow. But the thing is, that's not even the point.
But let's take it even a step further back. Now, my husband is saying that he would have bought the baby gift and put it in a box. However, the first plan was not to buy anything. Had I not brought it up, he would have been perfectly happy with just showing up and being like,
before that even, because my friend and I had an agreement where she doesn't get us a wedding gift, we didn't get her a baby gift.
And that's a verbal garbage. As far as I'm concerned, that's bullshit. Right. I'm not that type of person. If you're because like...
You always go above and beyond. I don't. And well,
because I think some things are, you know, like there's etiquette. Right. There's etiquette. And that discussion was between you and her. I don't get your wedding gift. You don't get me a baby gift. That's fine. But now I'm in the mix. And as your wife, I'm not going to show up to someone's house empty handed. I'm not going to meet someone's new baby and not bring a gift. That's just not who I am. Yeah. So, and so my husband was ready to show up with empty handed...
Just, I was bringing beer for her mom.
Right, bringing beer.
But again, it was just I wasn't coming at it from the right angle. It wasn't about whether or not.
Right, but let me finish because there's the wrapping part. So after my husband has a tantrum about you don't think I could do anything, and this conversation, you know, we're having this conversation the whole drive and then back home, you don't think I'm capable of this, this, and this. I'm like, okay, so I'm thinking back and I'm like, well, you know, tomorrow's Father's Day and we have his dad's gift and my dad's gift or whatever. And I was like, all right, well, wrap your father's gift. So I step out to, I don't remember what I went to do, but he calls me and he's like, babe, when you come home, can you wrap the gift? I couldn't do it. And I'm like, oh, Mr. Which Capable.
I really had to swallow
my Capable.
I just want to say, I'm perfectly capable of wrapping things that are normal shapes. Rectangles, squares, boxes. But I had
What's a rectangle?
It's a motherfucking T-Rex tangle. It's short for T-Rex tangle. No. Listen, I know that I was in the wrong for that one. I really had to swallow my pride of that phone call because I made a rigorous attempt to do it, but it was a very, it was a pair. Just, I need everyone to just sort of understand what I was looking at here. It was a pair.
I wrapped them perfectly, though.
Yeah, you did. I'm just saying, you're perfect. I'm wonderful.
I'm not perfect.
Babe, you're a glowing angel. I don't know if you guys,
and I just you guys want can't y'all see the golden
glowing aura around
I just
around
want y'all
right
to
now.
Know that when my husband said that, all I did was give a small chuckle and happily broke out the wrapping paper.
I just want everyone to know what I was trying to wrap. If I could just get that out, we can move on. What I was trying to wrap was a pair of slides, which are, you know, the sandals, but not the kind that goes between your toe. And the thing is, they weren't in a box. They were just wrapped in plastic. So it was this really oddly shaped thing. And I had some difficulty with it. And I had to just swallow my pride, especially after that whole thing where I was like, I'm perfectly capable. If it was a box, it would have been fine. Because I think I wrapped your Christmas presents pretty nice, did I not?
Yeah, you did.
So, you know, there are things. But sometimes in marriage, you just have to swallow your pride, accept where your strengths are and where your weaknesses are. And I know that my wife doesn't have any issue at all stepping in where I'm going to be deficient.
No, not at all.
As I'm happy, you know, to do and it. It's just a matter of being appreciative. And because I think it comes from an egotistical place. It's like, I'm so wrapped up in the idea that you think that I'm incapable that now it's almost
Which, side note, is not ever the case.
Yes.
Right.
So wrapped up in that I'm having it's like a, you guys know, like a shower argument where you're having an imaginary argument that either, or you come up with a better rebuttal for an argument that already happened, or you're preemptively arguing with someone you haven't even gotten into it with yet. It was that kind of thing where it's like, well, she thinks I'm incapable. Well, no, fuck that shit. Cause I'm gonna wrap this present. Ah, fuck, I can't wrap this present. Oh, I'm so fucking mad because she's probably sitting here like, you idiot. And it could have all been simply just like, babe, I'm gonna just let you do it. You're better at that, and that's okay.
And that was my argument. I was like, babe, you're not incapable of anything.
Just say a thing I'm good at.
You're tell them very
a
thing
on a domestic.
You're front, super creative. You're the best cook. You're the best cook. Okay. You are super helpful with everything. There's not a task that I don't need help with that you aren't willing to try your hand at.
You can lift the
you're
heavy
super
things.
Creative. Absolutely.
I can reach stuff that you can't.
Absolutely. You're a giant and I'm short. But I just think that our strengths are different and our weaknesses are different. And I just think, you know, I defer to you a lot of times with certain things, you know, that I'm not good at that I think you're better at. And it's not about saying, oh, she doesn't think I'm capable. It's just, we're different at different things.
Yeah.
Like, recently we pulled off a great barbecue.
We did.
That was, you know, that
we literally,
took both
we had
of our
no
effort.
Intention or any plan of having said barbecue. We had talked about it the day before, like, oh, maybe we'll go pick up a grill. They got some sales on. It's like the week before Father's Day.
Well, that was my gift to Marcus for Father's Day. Was
I didn't necessarily know it was coming. She talked about it. I figured, like, oh, yeah, I'll just go buy a grill. Then she's surprised, like, no, this is my gift to you. So that was dope.
And then, of course.
But we didn't wake up with the intention of having a barbecue. No, we're just like, maybe tomorrow we'll go buy one. But then it went from, like, maybe we'll go buy a grill to then, okay, we got the grill. And then it's like, you know what? Let's see if anyone is down. Let's get like a little head count, see who'd be interested. Because it's like, there's no point in trying to throw together a whole barbecue and find out, like, you know, everyone's out of town.
It started with, babe, let's go look at these barbecues, which I knew I was going to get him one anyway. We got that. And then this gleam in his eye, and he gets wide eyed, and he's like, let's have a barbecue. And we're like, okay, well, let's see if we can pull it off. So pretty much we went from not even having a grill to getting a grill and putting together a barbecue in less than 3 hours, I would say.
We left the house at 10. People started coming at 4. So it was a little bit more than that, but...
Well, but in the time...
In the time that we got home.
In the time that we got the grill, bought all the groceries.
Let's do a little rundown. We got grill.
Right.
Groceries.
Yeah.
A whole shit ton of market lights.
Because we were making a bunch of stuff.
For the shop. And we did the grill, the groceries, the
went
lights.
Went to Home Depot to get market lights.
Yeah, we had to go to Lowe's for the grill, cute. Home Depot, all the things, all the groceries, beer, ice, this, that. I mean, and we did, this wasn't, let me
this
just.
This wasn't a hot dog and again,
this is barbecue. This is where we sort of differ, but it definitely worked out. My wife being, you know, extra in the best way possible because a lot of barbecues, and someone even remarked on it, but because I'm thinking, okay, we'll do burgers, dogs, get a steak or two, whatever, and it's fun. No. We did burgers, dogs, steaks, pork chops, pork loins, sausages, ribs.
We had
chicken wings. We had salmon. We had, like, everything. And somebody remarked, it's
corn,
like, corn.
Fruit. We had pineapple, watermelon.
We did elote. Elote, yeah. We didn't just butter that corn on the grill. We had the little, I had the crema and
because,
the cotija.
Again, and that's the slight difference. Like, where you're like, yeah, let's just throw it together. I'm like, if we're throwing it together, we have to go all out. It has to be a thing.
It has to be right.
But it turned out wonderful.
You know, I remember one person remarking, like, you know what, this is really dope. Because, like, you get invited to a barbecue, and sometimes it's just, like, just burgers and hot dogs. And on the one hand, it's like, okay, well, whatever. You're showing up eating for free. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it's a
but
good...
But I like to host. I think we like to host. Yeah. You're definitely social. And I'm like, if I'm having people in my home, I want them to have a good time. I want everyone to be happy. I don't want anyone to leave hungry or, you know, it's important to me. You top off the drinks. You bring out, you know, cupcakes.
Oh, yes,
so
with desserts,
and desserts too. And ice cream and ice pops. And
you even got the cones for ice cream.
I got ice cream sandwiches, red, white, and blue rocket pops. I got cupcakes, all the things. It just made me super happy. It makes me super happy to just go
do a little more. I love grilling.
Yes, he loves
grilling. I love serving people food.
I think that was a great show of how well we work together. Yeah. And like when we're determined, we can do anything. Because that was pretty dope.
You, with the idea of the grill, picking out the great food, then, you know, while you're sort of like prepping and doing everything, I'm outside, you know,
putting up
nails and hooks and lights and this, that, and the other thing, and getting everything prepped. And we don't live in a house.
We live in a garden style apartment.
We're gonna fuck the game up.
Yeah.
When we have like a house with a backyard, because we pull this off, we have, you know, in the grand scheme, it's not the biggest apartment, but we do have a deck out front. Without that, this would have not been possible.
Yeah,
but we really, I think that's a great example of how when we really set our mind to something and work as a team, when we're both in the right frame of mind.
Sometimes the fact that I'm a little extra and I push a little more sometimes pays off.
It never hasn't. Like, for all my annoying, like, why are you fucking doing all this extra shit? It's never once been like, oh man, you really botched it this time, babe. You really fucked up with all this extra stuff.
No, but I think
that was one of the best examples of how you're great.
Thank you. You're great too.
Thanks.
I love you.
I love you too. I can't wait to do it again sometime.
Yes, I can't wait.
I grill, she wraps presents, I hang lights, she preps food. We really have a quintessential yin-yang sort of relationship.
And I think that's the way it should be. I think that you know, I think initially when we first got together, people didn't see it because we are so vastly different.
I mean, on paper, if you put it on paper now, it's still, I can understand why anyone, even people that know us and support our relationship, could be like, on paper. But there's more to it than black and white. And
on paper, how do you, how?
Oh, no, I just met, because the age, just if you look at the same reason that people thought we might not go together in the beginning, those are the things that I'm talking about are on paper. Yeah, if you just look at like the Stone Cold, like the age difference, you know, just all that stuff.
Yeah.
But here we are killing
it. But it works. It balances out. And, you know, they say the first year of marriage is the hardest. And we're almost there. In a few days, we will hit that milestone.
It'd be great if, like, we woke up, like, a year and a day, and, like, we've won the lottery, and just, like, everything's great. It's like, oh, yeah, that first year was tough, but now we're just
I wish.
That'd be great. But oh, we got to check that. We got a lottery ticket, by the way. We got to check that.
Yeah, we do.
We might be millionaires, y'all.
And if so...
Goodbye.
What happens after I do? We leave, motherfucker. We win the lotto, we out.
Yeah, we out.
Oh, my God.
We can start our own show on SiriusXM. That's what.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but so those are how we, you know, handle the hard times. And I think it's interesting because, so we go to therapy. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. And sometimes before therapy, we're like, oh, what are we going to talk about? And we feel like, you know, like there's nothing there. And then we get there and it's just like a flood of shit that we didn't think of. Yeah,
like we really started talking about, like I've lately had some like frustrations with work.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily something that's worth, you know, getting into. It's too specific to me. And it's not even, it's grand scheme, it's not really the end of the world. But the point is,
without talking about the specifics, I think a general lesson that we can take from the frustrations is nothing lasts forever. And if it's not making you happy or fulfilling you, it's okay to walk away from things.
Yeah.
And that's jobs, friendships, relationships, even family members. If something is not worth your while, just walk away because, you know, Marcus has been having some frustration and, you know, I'm very supportive in whatever he wants to do. And I'm like, you know, you're not beholden to this place. Like, you had an existence and you lived and you took care of yourself prior to this place.
Yeah.
If it doesn't meet your needs, you can walk away. But, I, he's finding ways to bridge those gaps and to, you know, find the compromise and the better things in, you know, because it is a great job and he's very good at it, you know, but just a lesson, you know, you have to bide your time sometimes because of financial reasons or, you know, if you're not ready to make the leap, but ultimately do the things that make you happy. Like you shouldn't be stuck in a place that doesn't.
Point there being is we talk about how we don't always know what we're going to get into when we go to therapy. And we started with my work frustrations and then it turned into sort of everything we just previously discussed.
Yeah.
So you never know kind of what can happen. As far as, like, you know, discussion of feelings go, you think that you don't really have anything going on, and then it's kind of, you know, it's a floodgate. Then all of a sudden, you got all sorts.
Because even though sometimes it gets a little sticky during sessions, and either you might get upset or I might get upset or either of us will get emotional, I think it's good because it brings whatever issues may be underlying, whether big or small, to the surface. And then even after therapy, we continue the conversation.
It's the garbage in the sink effect. We talk. I don't know if you guys recall where if I feel like if I hadn't brought that up until maybe like last week, almost a year of marriage, it could have blown up into some like big ridiculous fight. But because it was something we discussed or that I just not it wasn't a discussion. I just brought it up. And then now it's something we can joke about in the same way that now I feel like we'll be able to joke about my inability to wrap certain shaped presents or, you know, not letting my ego get to me. And the thing is, it's like, I won't lie. Like when we left therapy, I was so mad. I was so frustrated because I'm like, everything was seemingly fine before we walked in and then we talked about it. And now I feel uncomfortable and I'm annoyed and I'm frustrated and I'm upset. And so in those moments, I'm like, God damn it. You know, like, and I can almost like trick myself into thinking that, you know what, maybe fuck this. Maybe talking about everything isn't the answer. But here we are just a mere 2 days after that. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that we were able to discuss that because you discuss it, you get through it, you get over it, you get under it, you get past it.
I mean,
and then now it's something we can discuss a little bit more casually.
Look at the issues that we uncovered that we wouldn't have, like, you thinking that I was doing things out of martyrdom, me thinking that you were being considerate, you know, like talking about it and letting it out, even though it was uncomfortable at the moment. Now we have a better understanding of each other and like our each other's perspective and where we come from and why we do the things that we do. Now it's out there, it's settled, it holds no weight, it doesn't, you know, it has no power over us. And now for the next situation, now we know where we're coming from. So I think that's the best bet. So I'm a huge advocate of therapy. I think it does good things. Yeah.
But more importantly, it's talking things out. That's the real common denominator.
Absolutely.
Is to have discussions, whether it needs to be you and a mental health professional or you and your partner. That's all therapy is you verbalizing the things and not internalizing them.
Right, but I think therapy is important and it's a positive because sometimes you can't find the words or sometimes you don't have the language to say the things that you want to say.
Yeah.
And ping-ponging them off of an unbiased professional helps you get there, helps you find the common ground. Because I mean, think about it, we talk a lot, we talk about everything, and we hadn't discussed those issues, you know. We even talked about it prior to therapy and it didn't come up. So yes, obviously communicate with your partner, talk about everything, but if you have the opportunity to go to therapy, go to therapy. I think it helps. It definitely can't hurt. And sometimes issues come up that you don't even realize that were going on. I'm all for it.
Facts.
And I know you felt bad and I'm sorry, but then we got pizza.
We did. Yeah. There's a pizza place right across the street from the therapist. So I was like, I'm trying to be good lately. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm not really been trying as hard as I could be, but I'm someone that when I get a little emotional, I want to eat something that is delicious. I don't want to get all worked up emotionally and then go have a fucking salad.
Right.
It doesn't help because then I'm...
Well, and our therapist said, you know, it was a good session, but there was a lot of emotional shit. So he said, you know, go do something either fun or go eat something good or just
Does
go.
Our therapist know that we do this? Have we ever... I'm thinking about... Does he even know we have a...
I don't know. I think I mentioned it once, but I don't think I gave him, his name or anything. He already knows our shit, so it's not like yeah, he's going to get any more of a perspective. But, therapy's good. Talking is good.
Pizza is good.
Pizza is good. The end. No. What else did I say that I wanted to discuss? So we've talked about sort of conflict resolution and, you know, recognizing each other's differences. I'm drawing a blank right now. I was thinking of something else. But fuck it. We'll save it for the next one. Because I can't think of what I was thinking of in the beginning. But anyways, I hope you guys got something from this conversation. If you have any topics that you'd like to hear us discuss, if we missed anything in this conversation, please feel free to email us at whathappensafterido@gmail.com, or you can follow us at our Instagram handle, whathappensafterido. Thank you as always for listening. We appreciate you guys. We love doing this. And we will see you on the next one.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.